I'll be reading John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see all of you on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's a little cool, but the sun is shining. It's nice. I know some of you are going to parade for us this afternoon, not here at church, but the parade is today for the city of Murfreesboro, and I know several of you are going to be involved in that, so looks like it's going to be a beautiful afternoon for that. How many of you are excited about Christmas coming? Nobody? What are y'all doing looking around to see if anybody else is excited about Christmas? Like, am I supposed to be excited or not? You not excited about Christmas coming? Huh? Because we can call this thing off for you if we need to. She says, "I'm never coming back." Excited about Christmas when we're young, maybe even as we're older, about Christmas coming. And typically, we're excited about Santa Claus coming. And maybe you've made your list and checked it twice, as the song would say. Our dear brother David Tucker, been talking with him this morning. I'm pretty sure it's ashes and switches and lumps of coal, David. I'm just pretty sure about that, brother. But it is a time of excitement. And Wednesday night, we talked about, in our class, about memories of this time of year and those things reported. And a lot of that centered around time to be with family, or that everybody just seems to be in a pretty good mood this time of year, don't they? At work, at the grocery store, almost everywhere you go. Now, somebody said not at the malls. As long as you're not shopping, everybody's in a pretty good mood. At the malls, it's different, but it is. People are in a good mood and wishing each other Merry Christmas and all of those things. And so that's a great time of year, and we enjoy it. But I want us to focus on something else briefly this morning about Christmas and what it really means to us. And I'm not opposed to all the other, because nobody enjoys getting together and having a good time this time of year than I do. And I have no opposition to that, absolutely whatsoever. And my only problem now with Santa Claus is all he brings me is the bills. But, you know, I'm even okay with that. That's all good. But what really is important about Christmas, and what should we, I hope we'll think about in the days that are ahead, that brings real joy to us, should bring real joy to us, more than gifts and being together and just kind of the good feeling of this season. And as we think about the birth of Jesus and the importance of that, and I want to talk about the importance of that, but, you know, really, why is that important? As we celebrate that birth, why is that important? Well, I think we kind of know, but I think what we like a little bit about this season of the year, this time of the year, because people are in a good mood, and it seems like we kind of try to enjoy it, and some of the other pressures, we at least try to push back out of the way a little bit to enjoy the season. Is that fair? Now, what we have to be really careful about, and this is the truth of the matter, is sometimes in this season, we like to say, well, I'm going to really enjoy it, and then after first of the year, you know, I'll worry about things. Well, sometimes we push things or we make some decisions, and then about the time the credit card bills in January come in, we're going, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, right? And that's something that we have to be careful of, but we try to enjoy it. And I know in this time, then sometimes the sadness of things going on around us is multiplied as well. But we kind of push things back from all the pressures and try to enjoy this time of year. Well, the real joy that we ought to take out of this is, as John saw Jesus coming to be baptized by him, and that's the passage that Wilma read for us, that behold the Lamb of God that does what? That Jesus is this Lamb of God, this Passover Lamb that they would have been familiar with, but what's he going to do? All together, Jesus came to do what? Takes away the sins of the world. It's really not that difficult. Jesus came, behold the Lamb of God that... Behold the Lamb of God that... Y'all are getting better. Y'all are really doing much better. I'm not going to ask us to do that in a round. We won't get that done before this sermon's got to be over. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We know that. But I want to think about how much larger that really is. Because when Jesus takes away the sins of the world, Jesus is also taking away all of the problems, troubles, penalties, and pains that the sin of the world brings. Okay? So, sometimes we just think about him paying a debt, taking away sin, we kind of get that. But everything bad that happens, all the struggles, all the things that we really enjoy kind of pushing back for a little bit at this holiday season, Jesus came to take away. Okay? Jesus came to take those away. Jesus came into the world when it was what? When it is a fallen world, right? Where sin is and the problems that come with that. And Jesus' earthly family, to which he was born into, was certainly not spared from that. We remember the scene which has become glorious in the Nativity, right? It's become special and precious. But here's the fact of the matter. Here's a very young couple, maybe teenagers, probably teenagers, going to a city not their own, and having their first child at the barn. Okay? I mean, the manger in the stable sounds great, but they had him at the barn. There was nowhere else to go for shelter, so they went to the barn and they had their baby. That doesn't sound all that great, does it? But that's where Jesus was born. And Mary and Joseph took care of him, and it was very special because we're going to name him what? Or Emmanuel. Jesus is right. Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. All right, so in this world of sin and death and pain and trial, God is born into the world to take away the sin of the world and all of its repercussions. That's why we celebrate, right? That's why we celebrate. Because Jesus didn't come to give us temporary relief. Right? Temporary relief, but came to give us permanent, everlasting, eternal deliverance from sin. To take sin away. It's always interesting when people will come to the farm and talk and say, you know, the cattle will be there, and they'll make the comment, but, you know, if they only knew what was coming for them. You know, well, I thought, death's coming for all of us. You know, their lives might be 24 months, or it might be 12 years, and that seems kind of short to us, but to the oak tree's probably looking for us and saying, if they only knew what was coming for them, right? It's all speculative, right? Death is coming. And so, this birth of Jesus that we celebrate is Jesus coming into the world to take away the sins of the world, and it's going to come to a climax, if you will, where? At a cross. So we really can't celebrate the birth of Jesus without thinking about the sacrifice of the Lamb of God on the cross. A sacrifice for sin. That God sent His only Son, knowing that not only was He coming into the world, but that He would live as a man and struggle as a man, and He was going to die on a cross. A very painful, cruel, humiliating death on a cross. But God sent His Son, God came in the flesh to suffer that cost so that the sins of the world might be forgiven and all of its repercussions. Because all of us have sinned, right? Jesus didn't come for somebody else. Jesus came and died for us, right? And so we ought to celebrate and be thankful because Jesus came for us to take away our sins so that we don't suffer the consequence of sin, but that we have life eternal in a place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us, where all sin is gone and all of the things that sin brings with it are gone. They're all gone. He came to take away the sin of the world, right? He came to take it away. The sin will be gone. And when sin is gone, what else is gone? All the things that come with sin, right? Where did death come from? It's not a trick question. Sin, right? It's not just the natural order, okay? It's not just the natural order that we live and die. Now, we could argue that, but understand, that was not the way that we were created, okay? It's not the original creation. Because Adam and Eve were told, what? Don't eat from the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if, because when you do, what'll happen? You'll die. Which says, if you don't, what's going to happen? You're not going to die. But because you disobeyed God, death has come. And prior to eating from the tree, what are you going to do? Tend God's garden, right? And everything was going to be great because God planted the perfect garden and everything's good. But after they disobeyed God, what happens? Morning glories, bodocks, thistles, cuckleburrs, buttercup. Okay? I'm just naming a few that bother me. You may have others. But those didn't exist prior. No blight. No pest. Everything was going to be easy. But because sin came in the world, we're now under the curse. And we talk about this a lot because what happens? God says to man, now what are you going to do? By the sweat of your brow will you feed your family. You're going to have trouble now. Instead of just getting up and tending the garden that I have where everything's provided for you, now you're going to struggle. You're going to have difficulties. I picked on our brother David this morning just because he needs it. But he's a slow learner. Slow learner. But as I've said, our relationships have difficulties in them, all of them, especially the relationship between husbands and wives. If you go back to the curse, that's why. That's why. It was before cars. I don't know what they argued about then, David. I don't know what it was, brother, but something. Right? But that's all a part. That's what sin does. Sin causes us trouble in just providing every day. Because that's a struggle, isn't it? Sometimes you just get tired of the struggle. Because what do we think about? Insurance. Do you think about that? Food. Medicine. Am I going to keep my job? How am I going to pay for the kids' education? How am I going to deal with this sickness? All those things are things that weigh on us. All those things are things that weigh on us. And they're part of the curse. They're a part of sin. And here's what John says. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came, born in a manger, and we're so thankful that He did, knowing that the sacrifice of the cross is coming, willing to do that, willing to pay the price for our sins, that He might take sin away, that we might be delivered from sin. Because what is the greatest power sin has? It's death. It's death, right? It's death. And Jesus came to take away sin. And what's the last enemy to be defeated, the Scripture will tell us? Death. Death. Jesus came to defeat death. And so, 3 days after the cross, what happens? The resurrection, right? Jesus comes forth from the grave, overcoming the power of sin, which is death. And Jesus is going to return and take us to be with Him where there is no longer sin and all of the things, all of the problems that it causes, including death itself. So, we ought to celebrate every day that Jesus came to take away the sins of the world, right? Is that fair? I'm about through. So y'all can stay awake another minute and you'll make it through a whole sermon. For some of you, it's a first. Thank you. That's right. Jesus came to take away sin and all that's right, and we ought to celebrate every day. But as we think about Christmas and the things that we look forward to, it is a glorious time. It's a joyful time. But think about at what great cost Jesus paid to take away our sin that we might have wonderful eternal life. Think about all the great memories and be thankful for, hey, all the good times that are coming because we'll be free from sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And what about they're just, even at this time of great memory, there's some time of sadness, isn't it? For most all of us, about maybe those who are struggling or our friends or family members that have passed on, that just seems to come back to the forefront of our mind this time of year. It does for me. I bet it does for you as well. But think about this, that all of that's going to be gone. And for those of us that are children of God, we'll all be reunited. Because why? The Lamb of God, Jesus, was born. And He came to take away the sin of the world. He came to take it away and all that comes with it, that we might have life eternal where all of these things are gone, where there's no more sadness, no more parting, where every day's Christmas. Every day's Christmas. Every day's a time of reuniting and joining around the throne of God and being with Him where we are at peace and at comfort and in safety with God. I hope you're looking forward to Christmas like these young people are, but I'm looking forward to Jesus' return. He's not Santa Claus. He's not mythical nor mystical, but He is God's Son who came and lived to take away the sins of the world, and He's coming back to take us home to a perfect place He's prepared for us. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.